So good to see everyone this morning. We're going to be studying in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to be talking about our theme for this year, which is blessings for the bride. Blessings for the bride. And this theme proceeds along the line of thought that if you come to a wedding and there is the table with the gifts for the bride, those gifts are for the bride and the bride alone. And if someone were to come up and start taking those gifts, we would say, no, stop, what are you doing? These gifts are only for the bride. And the New Testament teaches that there are some gifts just for the bride, some blessings that only the bride enjoys. When we talk about the bride in the New Testament, we're talking about the church. And that means that some blessings are only there for those who are Christians, who are in the church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, which is in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And this morning we're going to be looking at the blessing of peace. The bride is blessed with peace. You know, Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus gives peace to his people, a peace that the world does not have. And when we look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 through 22, we see very clearly this picture of peace. Starting in verse 14, we read this, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity," that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, "so as to create from himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." What is this passage discussing? Well, Paul is talking about how the Gentiles have access to God through Jesus Christ, but that this wasn't always the case, that under the law of Moses, Gentiles were outside of a covenant relationship with God. But God in Christ has brought them under a covenant relationship and has therefore reconciled the conflict that was between Jews and Gentiles. This was the greatest conflict of Paul's age, the conflict between Jews and Gentiles. You know, Jesus even struggled with that in his life. Not from a personal point of view, but having to deal with the conflict that was going on all around him between Jews and Gentiles. Remember that one time when they brought that denarius to Jesus and were asking him that question about whether we should not pay taxes to Rome or not? That was all about the conflict that went on between Jews and Gentiles. And Paul is telling us that Jesus' death on the cross has resolved this conflict, first of all, by taking the law of Moses out of the way so that now there's a new covenant under which all, both Jews and Gentiles, may come to God together. And Christ did the work on the cross to resolve this conflict. Well, there are conflicts in our world today, are there not? In fact, how we deal with conflict in this life is a large portion of how we live our life. I am a preacher. I am also, sometimes I go do substitute teaching. And then most of you know that I officiate football games. So I deal with a lot of conflict, especially in those football games sometimes. There is great conflict over decisions that are made. But God brings peace, and the world does not have this peace. The world does not know this peace. How can I put myself in all these situations where there's conflict because I know Jesus Christ and His Word lives within me? And I can face any situation that may come my way, regardless of how strong the conflict may be, because I have that relationship with God that governs all of my actions and is the foundation of my identity and who helps me be who He wants me to be. So it doesn't depend upon me personally. It depends on God and following God's will and doing what He wants us to do within His life. Well, let's talk about the bride is blessed with peace this morning. And first of all, we want to talk about having peace with one another. Christ brings peace to men by being the standard of forgiveness for all. Look at what is said here in Ephesians 2:11 through 15. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Christ brings peace. How does He do that? By becoming the standard of forgiveness for everyone. It says that He brought us near by His blood. Think about Matthew 26 and verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The forgiveness of sins. That's what we're talking about here. That's what brings peace between us and God and brings peace between all people, is forgiveness. Real forgiveness. Not pretend forgiveness. Not just saying, I forgive you, but then holding that little grudge against that person. Not some false standard of forgiveness that men often raise up and say, oh yes, I love you and forgive you, and then turn around and stab you in the back. But a true standard of forgiveness, God's standard of forgiveness, a standard for everyone, and that standard is the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. And you, being dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of a requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. We have forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And that's so important in our relationships with each other. The law was contrary to us. The law held our sins against us. It remembered those sins. Every year, those sins were remembered under the law of Moses. But under Christ, they are forgotten. They are removed. They are forgiven. And because of that, we can forgive one another. And this is what Jesus' point is here in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, the blood of Christ is that standard for forgiveness. God sees the payment of Christ's blood, and he says, if you accept that payment, I will forgive you of your sins. And when we accept that offer by being baptized into Christ, and we say, I accept Christ's payment for the forgiveness of my sins, God says, your sins are forgiven, and you will continue to be forgiven as long as you walk in the light, as Jesus Christ walked in the light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. So what does that mean regarding my relationship with you? It means this, that if I refuse to forgive you, then I refuse the very same forgiveness that God gives me through the blood of Christ. The same standard that forgives me of my sins forgives you of your sins. And I've got to accept that standard for you if I accept it for me. And if I don't accept it for you, then how can I say I accept it for me? I can't, you see. To reject that forgiveness is to reject the standard of forgiveness, which is the blood of Christ. That is why it is so important that we understand the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross and why he shed that blood on the cross, so that we understand forgiveness for ourselves and then also can apply the same standard to others in forgiving them. I want to be forgiven, and therefore I should want to forgive you also. You see, that's the challenge. That's the challenge. But Jesus makes it clear that we are to forgive one another. And this is what brings peace to our lives, is forgiving one another. Sin brings conflict, but Jesus brings peace. How? By forgiveness. Do you remember what Peter said to Jesus that one time? He said, how many times shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times in one day? And what was Jesus' response? This is Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and following. I say not unto you seven times, but seven times 70. In other words, there is no limit. There is no limit. We are to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive over and over again as long as our brother or sister is seeking that forgiveness and is struggling to do what is right. Forgiveness is constant. And Jesus told a parable right after that about a man who owed 10,000 talents, just this huge sum of money to a king, something like $20-30 million in today's terms. And in that parable, he said, he went to the king and said, please forgive me all of this debt that I have. And the king said, I forgive you. And then he went out and he found somebody who owed him like $100. And he said, pay me everything that you owe me. And then that man said, oh, just please forgive me. And he said, no, but he cast him into the debtor's prison. Well, the king heard about that and he brought that man back before him and said, I forgave you all this debt and you couldn't forgive this little debt to this one who owed you. You see, if we don't forgive the little things that other people do to us in this life, God isn't going to forgive the big things that we've done against him. We need to be a forgiving people. The blood of Christ as the standard brings peace because it brings forgiveness. But then secondly, the bride is blessed with peace. Peace with other people, peace with other Christians, and peace with God. Now, we talked about this earlier because we can't really have peace with one another without having peace with God. But look at Ephesians 2, verses 16 through 18 here, how Paul moves from reconciling through Christ to one another, Jews and Gentiles who had struggles, who had conflict, they're reconciled, they have peace, we have peace through forgiveness, but now Notice how he moves into our relationship with God. Ephesians 2:16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enemy, enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Peace with God is through the cross. That is the only way that we're going to have peace with God, through the cross of Jesus Christ. I remember long ago watching a movie, and in this movie there was a very angry man who had, in a war, lost the use of his legs. And he got out on a boat, and he railed against God on that boat. And at the end of that boat ride that was in a great storm, he allegedly found peace with God. That is not how we get peace with God. A person can never get peace with God like that. That's peace upon his terms. God doesn't make peace upon our terms. God makes peace upon his terms, the Lord's terms, not man's terms. That's what the cross is all about. It's about God making peace with us. It's about God saying, this is the path to peace with me. I've given it to you. Now you have the opportunity to take advantage of it. Think about Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. That is, God reconciled all things to himself by him, by Jesus Christ, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's how God makes peace. That's how God reconciles with us, through the blood of the cross. It doesn't come on my terms. It doesn't come on your terms. It comes on God's terms. The peace that God gives comes from him and the cross of Jesus Christ. When we accept the cross, that's when we accept the peace that God offers. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 tells us, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now think about the problems that we have as a result of sinning against God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Colossians 1 and verse 21 says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Sin brings enmity. Sin makes us enemies with God, but the cross redeems us. The cross brings salvation, because that's God's standard of peace. That's what God wants us to take advantage of, the offer that he makes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, we read, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That precious blood of Christ is what redeems us from our sins and brings peace to our life. It is on the merit of what Jesus Christ offered to God that he forgives us of our sins. And how do we accept that offer? God says, I will forgive you. But we must accept that offer. You know, a person can offer forgiveness to another person and then that forgiveness be rejected. Someone might say, I don't need your forgiveness. I don't want your forgiveness. May think that, in their twisted way of thinking, that they haven't done anything that needs forgiveness. But the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all need forgiveness. So how do we accept that forgiveness. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those people that he were talking to on that day were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. And Peter convinced them by talking to them about the scriptures and by demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit there that they were guilty. And the text says they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" This was the answer. This brought them peace with God. It brought them peace with one another. It brought them peace with Jesus Christ. And this peace gives us access to the Father. And access to the Father brings further peace. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Peace with God. The bride is blessed with peace. And finally, the bride is blessed with peace with self. Look at the last section of this passage in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Who are we in Christ Jesus? We are fellow citizens. We are saints. We are members of the household of God. This is our new identity in Christ. The old identity of sin brought conflict because sin was what identified us. But being forgiven of sin, we have a new identity in Christ Jesus. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. And this new identity brings peace. It brings inward peace, emotional peace, mental peace. That is what lasting peace has for us in Christ Jesus. This peace means that we are part of something greater than ourselves. Peace to all who are in Christ Jesus. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. The church, that is the bride, is God's holy temple in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, being part of something greater than who we are brings stability. We have the stability of Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. We have the stability of the apostles and prophets' doctrine as the foundation. And because of that stability, we have a peace that the world does not know. In fact, we are the dwelling place of God today. Think about 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" That is peace. Knowing that God lives with us, dwells with us, and is constantly there for us every single day. Now it is peace for the Christian who loves God, who wants God in his life, and who wants that correction when he does something that's wrong. That brings peace. For the sinner, that is not peace. He does not want to know that God is there all the time. He does not want God within his life. For one to remind him that God is always watching is to convict him of his sin and bring guilt. And that brings great turmoil within. But for the Christian, there is peace because There is a relationship with God based upon the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Think about these last two verses here, and the lesson will be yours. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is a tension in this world between God and between man's sin. But in Christ, that tension falls away and yields to great peace, because God is there. Let go of the sin and let God in. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. The bride is blessed with peace. And this peace is only for the bride. It's only for Christians. Maybe you need the blessings of the bride this morning in your life. Hearing the word of God starts you on that road to obtaining those blessings. You must then believe that God is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. You must let that word engender faith within your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Upon conviction, you must repent of those sins. For the times of ignorance God once winked at, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17:30. Having repented, you can confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses unto salvation. Romans 10:10. And then you will be a candidate for baptism. One who is ready then to have his sins forgiven and to be at peace with God. Perhaps you need to do that this morning. We would be happy to help you with that. Or maybe you're a Christian and you struggle with sin. You need the prayers of the church so you can have that peace in your life. If that is your need, then we invite you to come forward right now while together we stand and while we sing.